This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 453, Emma's IELTS 8s and Task 1 Terrors.
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Find out why our strategies are the most powerful in the IELTS world and get your free video masterclass at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. Now, let's get to the show.
Today, you'll learn valuable IELTS exam lessons from Emma's experience, how she got 8s on speaking and reading, a 7.5 in listening, and why a Task 1 map caused a 6 in writing. Good afternoon, IELTS Energy listeners. We get to talk to a very special Three Keys student today from a very interesting place. That's the thing that immediately comes to mind when I think about you, Emma, is where you're from, because I've never met anyone who lives where you do. So, okay, Emma, where do you live?
Well, I live in Lifu in New Caledonia. That's a small island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And where I live is a very, very, very small island, like completely remote.
So one of the reasons why, or maybe the principal reason why you're taking IELTS is to hopefully get off that island at some point, right?
Yeah, it might sound weird because it looks like paradise here, but...
It does.
At some point, you just get bored. I mean, it's been 7 years I'm living here, so...
Oh, wow. You know, well, there's such a thing as, like, too much of a good thing, right? It's like, if I eat dessert every day, it's not gonna be as awesome. I won't look forward to it. It won't, like, I won't experience it as completely as if I just have it, like, once a week or something. So... You know, you live in like what it looks like paradise, really.
Yeah, it does. Like it's pristine beaches with crystal clear water and white sand and coconut trees.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like it sounds like a good holiday place. Okay, so of course we aren't here to talk about New Caledonia. We are here to talk about IELTS. Emma, so you took the test about a month ago, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, and what were your scores?
Well, I got a 6 on writing, which is the bad side of it, but then I got a 7.5 in listening and 8 on speaking and on reading.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. But you need at least a 7 in writing to accomplish your goals, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So have you taken IELTS previously to this?
No, that was the first time.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. And... We did meet on Skype and practice for the speaking and writing. So let's talk about the speaking first. What sort of strategies or advice, what do you think helped you get that 8 on speaking?
I think the confidence you give us is really, really important, because then you lessen the stress and... It can be more natural when you're face-to-face with the examiner. So I think that helps a lot, the confidence to give us.
I think experiencing that mock exam with me is really crucial to preparing before you face the examiner, because then you know exactly what is going to be said, especially if it's your first exam and you've never sat in that chair before, right? Like, it could be really off-putting if you're like, why is she saying that? Because some of the instructions are weird, you know, like, like in speaking part 2, the examiner gives you the instructions and then says, do you understand? And I feel like that's sort of of condescending to some people because some students are like, of course I do. Like, I'm not dumb, but that's just what we have to say. Okay. So you got an 8 on speaking. That's amazing. Besides the confidence, do you feel like you were able to use like vocab or organization or anything that really helped you on the exam day?
Yeah, of course. And even if I was like thinking about it over and over after taking the test, because I was like, oh, I haven't used enough linking words and stuff like that. But actually, it went well. So,
awesome.
The vocab you get, you gave us is really important too. But yeah, I really think the confidence, because when I talked to you, it was kind of natural because we are about the same age. And the examiner was like 60 years old. And so I was like thinking, okay, let's think it's Jessica in front of me and talk the same. Because otherwise,
so funny.
If I haven't had the mock exam with you, I would probably have gone in a more, I don't know, like not using slang or thing like that, you know,
right,
for the first part. And I was like, okay, just use it no matter what.
Yeah. Totally. And like, depending on your culture as well, if you're faced with a more elderly, not that 60 is elderly, but if you're faced with like an older person than yourself, you might revert to a more formal slash respectful, right, type way of speaking.
Not choosing, oh my gosh, things like that. Okay, just do it.
Totally. Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, cool. That's a really good point, though. Okay. And then reading was also an 8. How did you do that?
Well, just focusing on it. Like, just like you say, just do it. So, yeah, focusing is really important.
Were there any strategies that helped you to focus?
Yeah, you know, all the the paraphrasing and all the the words like that are really important. Just look at them and the order of the questions, and just no stress, calm down one by one, and that's it.
Yeah, good.
Don't waste time.
Yeah,
if you don't find the answer, go to the next one and then come back to it if you have time. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. So guys, if you're preparing for IELTS out there, I mean, which you are because you're listening to this podcast, this is the crux of the reading matter, if you will. It is all about timing and experiencing the strategies required for each question type and practicing those. Because of course, you don't approach matching headings the same way you approach multiple choice, right? Like, every specific question has unique requirements if you're going to save time and if you're going to find the answer quickly. So you do have to study these strategies. There's no way a student can rock up to the reading test just with doing any old test prep class and be ready. You know, like, how is that person going to understand yes, no, not given? Those are weird. Those are weird questions. Okay.
Yeah,
awesome.
And scanning is really important too. Like, not reading everything.
Perhaps the most important skill. I think. Yeah, totally.
Because scanning is enough to understand the text and then to find the answers.
Yeah, totally. So guys, in the blog post for this episode, just search Emma, E-M-M-A, and I will link to other episodes and blog posts about skimming and scanning so you can get a feel for what these strategies look like on exam day. But of course, if you want the complete system of strategies and a mock exam with me, then you can go to allearsenglish.com/KEYS. Okay, and then the listening 7.5. What sort of resources did you use to like gain that listening comprehension confidence?
You gave us many really interesting features, such as your podcast first. The IELTS awesome. Energy podcast like is awesome and I love it. It's how I discovered Great. You, actually. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's full of energy as its name says it, so
we try. It was funny. I just recorded an episode with a neighbor of mine yesterday. To do like a mock exam with a native speaker, just to like show you guys, show our audience how a native speaker would do well and not so well on the exam. And it was cool because, I mean, we're friends otherwise. And after we finished recording, she was like, what? So that's what you do. She like, it was really like eye opening for her. It was cool. Okay. So listening preparation. I mean, obviously, podcasts about IELTS made for students like ours, that's crucial for strategies and skills. But what about just understanding native speakers? Do you have any sort of advice or recommendations for how to practice that? Hello, awesome and incredible IELTS candidates. If you are just starting to prepare for your IELTS exam, get into the Three Keys IELTS course now. We have everything you need from study plans to practice tests. Come on over to allearsenglish.com/KEYS.
Well, I really love the TED Talks. TED, like they are really interesting conferences and can be short or long depending on the subject. And the subject are so various, so numerous, so like there are manifold subjects. So you will always find something interesting and it's Definitely. Really good to listen to them as well as being interesting.
Yeah, no, they're great practice, especially for listening section 4, right? Where there's like one person talking the whole time. You really need to practice keeping track of that because it's really easy to lose focus if you're only hearing one voice and they're talking about something maybe boring. It's like you just kind of wander. So it's really important to practice that. There's also a podcast called the TED Radio Hour, which I highly recommend. I'll put the title in the blog post for this episode, guys. Okay, and let's get to the writing. So let's think about your experience on test day. What do you think happened? Was it like an odd question, or how did that? What affected that 6?
Timing. No.
Oh, geez.
Task 1 was comparing 2 maps.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Really boring.
That's tough.
I think I didn't do it the right way. So at the end, I realized it was too long, but then it's too late. So once it's too long, it's too long. And there's no way to cut it really.
So you mean you wrote too many words?
Yes, I did.
Did it take you longer than 20 minutes?
No.
So, guys, with task 1, if you're describing maps, as long as you don't repeat yourself, more words doesn't necessarily hurt your score. The reason why we recommend limiting to 180 for task 1 is that, well, you usually can't write more than that in 20 minutes. But secondly, we end up putting information in there that is not necessary. That is not key information. So guys, if you're putting stuff in your task 1 essay that is not important, right? Like numbers we don't care about or map details that are not important. If we're including that stuff, that is going to directly affect the task score. So in order to get a 7 or higher for task achievement, for task 1, you must only have the most important information in your essay. Any more than that, any less than that brings down your score. So, I mean, you're right. That might have been what affected that task 1 score. And plus, maps. Maps are odd. what were the maps of?
It was the ground floor of a museum and the changes that happened to it between 2005 and 2017.
Okay.
So comparing changes.
Yeah. So like the sentence structure there is like static, right? Because we're comparing. We're using a lot of phrases like in contrast to this and on the contrary, because we're comparing. And besides that, the vocabulary you need, it's all about interesting ways to describe locations, right? That's the key for maps. So in the upper northwest quadrant, we can see da-da-da-da. So it's like these, that's the vocab you need for maps. Do you feel like you were maybe missing that location vocab?
The other thing was that there was no indication about north, south, so I couldn't really use it because I didn't want to assume that north was at the top bottom of the sheet, so
yeah,
and it's odd to say the top right corner when you talk about the ground floor. Well, it was
okay. Those are two really good points. In fact, guys, any map, any layout, any blueprint you see, you can assume that it's laid out in a north-south manner, because that's a given. I think we only put the compass, like the, what do you call it? The compass rose, mm-hmm, or whatever, the north, south, east, west. We only have to put that on, like geographical maps, really. Otherwise we just, it's a given. Mm-hmm. So in fact, Emma, you could use those phrases. And other than that, also saying top right corner, that would also be appropriate. To alternate between those phrases would be even better, because then you're paraphrasing, but it's all appropriate.
Okay, so this is what I missed.
Well, it's good to know, right? In case you get another map, you probably will not get a map. Like, now that you figured it out, you're not going to get another one. Okay.
And the way you organize things too, like I was like just saying what was in 2005 and then comparing the changes that happened. And I should probably have split it in two and say, okay, what happened to the left side and then what happened to the right side, or something more interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. As far as organizing your description, I think it's useful to, you have two options really. You can, if there's an entrance, you start at the entrance, right? You organize it as if you are walking through the room. You can do that. I think that's a logical sort of, it makes sense, you know, like it makes sense to the reader if you organize it like that. Or you could just start north and go clockwise, because that's also organized. You just have to choose a method. And stick to that. Okay, so what about task two? What was your experience like there?
Task two was about if education had to be mandatory from 4-year-old or something. Yeah.
Okay.
So the subject was not so odd.
Yeah.
Not so difficult. I thought it was quite okay, maybe too, mm-hmm, short, I don't know, because as I struggled for the task one, I was lacking time for task two as well. It makes sense.
Dang.
A little bit. Just a little bit, but yeah, time just flies when you're on writing task. It's awesome. It's like,
it does.
Gee, where has it gone?
Yeah, no, for sure. Mm. Do you feel like did you sit down and practice the timing a lot before test day?
Not enough.
Okay. Well, Emma, I think we've sort of discovered some keys here that will improve your score. So first of all, I mean, we should prepare for maps even if it's unlikely. So the location phrases, the structures to compare, those are really the two things we need most for maps. And other than that, for task two, I mean, just the timing, minutes are crucial. If you think about it, if you have 5 extra minutes, even 3 extra minutes to proofread, you might be able to catch some stuff, enough words that would actually raise that vocab score just in those 3 minutes, you know? So I think, I mean, you said it right away when we started talking about writing, that timing is key, because obviously, I mean, you got an 8 in reading, an 8 in speaking. you have an amazing level of English. So now we just need to sort of like focus that within the test requirements.
Yeah, exactly. Timing is crucial, as you say, really, especially in writing, probably.
Yeah, for sure. Well, reading and writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's like, it's all about timing. Okay, so Emma, do you have plans to take the test again?
Yeah, in 3 weeks.
In three
so
weeks,
it will be
okay.
The 9th of September.
Okay, so guys, I'm going to sort of make some recommendations here. If you have found yourself in the same place as Emma, I'm sure this is common, right? It's so frustrating. We get emails from listeners like this where they get more than enough in three categories. There's just one category that they need to improve. So guys, your goal, you can't let the other categories drop, right, Emma? So as far as the listening, speaking, reading goes, I would just do the reviews and keep up with two practice tests a week just to maintain, because we don't want to drop, but you're like, maybe you can get better. Who knows? But our goal is to like at least maintain those, right?
Yeah, right.
So review, like just review some of the stuff from the course and then maintain that test practice every week. And as far as writing goes, I would go through the writing module again. You don't have to do all the practices, but just remind yourself of, yes, like I know how to do this, right? Like get some of that confidence back. And then force yourself to go outside of the home, sit in a busy place, a cafe, something that is distracting and challenging, and force yourself to sit down for an hour and produce the work that you need to. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, all right.
I need to practice the timing. That's the key point, probably.
Yeah, and time yourself step by step, right? So for task one, like 3 minutes for planning, 14 minutes for checking, 2 to 3 minutes for proofreading, 14 minutes for writing, 2 to 3 minutes for proofreading. Like try and time yourself step by step just to make sure that you're not like, you're not overthinking on the brainstorm or you're losing out on proofreading, you know? So if you time yourself step by step at first, I think that will go towards the comfort of being able to fill that whole 60 minutes in like the best way.
Yeah. And once you start writing, you cannot go back. That's the thing, because the timing is so tight. You just do it in one... Yeah, at once, and that's it. Yeah, you can just make some correction, like some word or some mistake, like grammar mistakes, but you cannot change a whole paragraph or anything like that.
That's true. No, that's totally true. You can't, there's no room for self-doubt, right? And I think that's true on every part of the exam. There is no time to go back. You know, I was just talking about this with a student this morning, the importance of always moving forward. Mm-hmm. Like we can't second guess our answers on the listening and reading, because most often, if you go back and change stuff, you're going to change it to the wrong answer. So, like, there's no space for going back. But I think that's good advice, because I have seen some students who have tried to, like, rewrite their essay, like, on the exam. And so they end up with, like, a half-finished essay, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, of course, yeah, that's impossible. All right, Emma. So especially that this is your first attempt, I think these are amazing scores, and luckily you know exactly what to fix and practice before your next exam, and 3 weeks is enough time for sure.
Yeah, thank you very much for your help. I think it's a great pleasure to prepare the IELTS with you. Like, it's so
awesome.
Much fun. You just want
That's
to keep
to
on
hear.
Doing it.
Well, Emma, maybe that's why you got a 6, because like subconsciously you're like, oh, I don't want to stop studying IELTS.
Maybe. I'm not sure though, but maybe.
I'm just joking. That would be terrible. Okay. All right, Emma. So we have some clear plans moving forward, and I'm super confident because you're a total English rock star. Like, you're so impressive. So thank you so much for coming on the show today. I was super excited to have you on. And if you have any questions moving forward, right, you're always a member of the closed Facebook group, so you can ask me anything at any time, all right?
Okay, thank you very much, Jessica.
All right, cool, Emma. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again, and see you soon.